Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Oh. family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. Children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. His presence go before you and beside you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be back with you and to share with you and to be a part. When Pastor James asked me to come the first time, it was on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And I've said to him, I just have to let you know, I do not have a Cinco de Mayo message. I just don't have one. And now he asked me to come back on Father's Day, and I'm just going to let you know, I don't have a Father's Day message either. So I was never good. I should stop right there. Special messages were always hard for me. And so I just decided a long, long time ago just to stay right here. And I will let you know, though, fathers and moms, this message today could change your life. Not my message, but the message God has for you. And it will be the greatest celebration day that you've ever had. So with that, I want to say up front, every once in a while, and probably more than every once in a while, more often than we'd like to think, pastors have to preach across a gap. And what that gap is that here's what Father wants. Here's where God is leading us. This is where, this is his plan. This is his desire. This is his intent. However, we're not always there yet. And so as a pastor, you preach over a gap. And so I want you to know today, this is last time I had to ask for forgiveness because my family took up some of your parking spots. And today I just need to confess, I'm preaching over a gap because I'm not where this message is taking us, but I desire to be there. I'm seeking that. And so I trust for you today, that's the same thing. There have been some things in my life that have just really been captivated me because of the brilliance of light and shiny, whatever the shine was. I remember as a elementary school kid going to my first Cleveland Indians baseball game in Municipal Stadium. I grew up in the era of black and white television. Anyone know what black and white television is? I used to watch the Indians on black and white television, and all I got was black and white. There wasn't green grass. There wasn't brown dirt. There wasn't blue skies. There wasn't green fences. It was just black and white. And I can remember coming up into the stands that Saturday afternoon to the brilliance of the light on that field. The green was green. The brown was brown. I mean, it was wild. It was the middle of the afternoon, and the lights were brighter than the sunshine, it seemed like. Everything just lit up. I remember that. That stuck in my mind, and even I'm seeing it today as I'm speaking to you. A few weeks ago, we went through an episode or an experience of solar eclipse. How many saw the solar eclipse? I had some friends who said they're just staying inside because they were just afraid the Lord was going to come or something. I don't know what it was. But I was out. I work at a golf course. I mow, and I was mowing number 5 green area, and the eclipse began. And I just got off my tractor. I just stood there. I had my glasses. I'm looking at. But at 3:00, whatever it was dark. I mean, dark. It was awesome. I mean, it's incredible. But then the moon began moving out from in front of the sun. And I don't know if you experienced it the way I did, but everything just lit up. I mean, it was like going to the Cleveland Indian Stadium again and seeing this just magnified, intense light coming my way. It was amazing. It's amazing what light does and the intensity. I felt like I was seeing the lights on at that stadium again, showing me the world. There's something about our spirits that shines. I was reading a fiction work just this week, and one of the characters said, "Lifeless bodies had a dullness to them I'd learned to recognize over the years. They looked like the matte version of a painting when the rest of the people walking around were coated in resin. Souls had a shine to them that wasn't truly noticeable until it was gone. There's something about life. There's something about our continents that just shows itself and demonstrates itself. In the Old Testament, you're going to be thinking, I'm just an Old Testament guy. I want you to know I love the Old Testament. Today's message, I'm going to go to the gospel, so hopefully you can handle that. But in the Old Testament, Moses, second time up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, comes down, and they said his face, his countenance, just shined. In fact, it shined so greatly. They put a veil over his face because they couldn't look at the intense shine and aura of Moses. Keep that in your mind, would you? Let's sing a song. Join with the team.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go straight.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9, and I'll begin reading at verse 28. Would you stand as we'd reverence the reading of his word together? We sang a song this morning called The Blessing. May his face shine upon you. Put that in your mind as well. I heard some time ago that we should every 3 years forget everything we know about Jesus and start over again. Now, you can't do it. None of us can do that. But what they were trying to say to me and to us is that there are still so many things to learn about Jesus and his purpose, his plans, his desires for us. And so today, I'm not asking you to forget everything you know about Jesus, but would you allow him to shine his face upon you? May you see truth in him today that maybe you haven't seen before. And also, may you desire his plans in a new way, a new fashion, with new energy for your life. So anyways, back to Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which it was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. Verse 34, and while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Father, a narrative we've maybe camped out with before. An aspect of the life of Jesus, an experience that we could all probably reference and refer to as the Transfiguration. A lot of things go through our mind. But today, may we see Jesus with a new brilliance. May we experience Him as we turn our eyes to Him. And the things that seem to be so important to us will grow dim because we stand in the awesome, awesome presence of your Son. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the anointing with your Spirit through the music today. Your presence was not only here with us during the music, but it's here now through your word. Continue to do a good work in our life, and we'll give you praise. Amen. You may be seated. Every once in a while, we get a glimpse. We're invited in to see Jesus in new ways, to see God at work, even in his life. I like the fact that Jesus took his three closest friends, at least that's what they say about Peter, James, and John, and takes them up with him into the mountain, not to build a campfire and eat s'mores, but to pray. Now, I don't know how much prayer Jesus expected to get out of Peter, James, and John, but Jesus had to pray, had to come before the Father, to be with Father in his life. And I don't know if this happened every time Jesus prayed, but I can possibly see it happening. His appearance changed. There was something took place in his life. He radiated God's presence, this Father's presence in his life. And I wonder, when's the last time we prayed, you prayed, that during your prayer, your whole life changed? You prayed and you began to see things differently. God began to work in your life and change you, not just for the moment, but into the days ahead of you. I wonder if maybe we might want to leave some of our devotional time and our times of worship together and walk out like Moses did, radiant, where they had to veil his face. What about our lives? And when we go through these moments with Father, are we open to Father turning us around? Are we open to no longer being what we were and becoming what he would have us to be? Are we at a point in any point in our life as we come into his presence, desiring maybe to keep going as we've always been going on, but even maybe coming out of those experiences on a new course, new adventure ahead of us? Maybe there's some things in our lives that we're questioning. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening to me? Pity me, poor me, stinks to be me. Why am I going through this? Maybe it's in that prayer time you begin to see. Adavi had a testimony of James about his surgery. She can tell you about it. I'm not going to tell you about it. Give you something to talk about. But anyway, we don't know why we go through the things we go through, but God has a plan. And he'll bring us through as we spend time in prayer. What would happen in our prayer time if we really gave more space to God? where we didn't close him out with all the things that are around us, where we allowed him complete freedom with our lives. And again, that was part of our prayer. I want to give you my best, part of our songs today. Whatever you want, I'll give you more. Can we give God that space to become the people he wants us to be? What would really happen in our lives if we would listen to God and let him change us? What would come to pass if we stopped getting in the way of God and truly let God be God in our life? He's got plans for each of us. It's astonishing what will become of our lives if we truly let God fully have his way with us. I was kind of fascinated this morning. Even in this time of worship, since 10:30, four specific times, I've heard the church called to prayer. Four times this morning, just in our being here, we've been called to prayer. Amazing. Sunday school, I thought, oh, not again. I was here two months ago, May 5th. Sunday school lesson was about my message. They started the lesson today, Psalm 25, 1 through 15, prayer. God's desire for us to be a people of prayer. It's more than just an activity. It's more than just a function of being a person of faith. It is a call upon our lives to be in the presence of Father. And I wonder how many times we've read this passage of Scripture and we said, oh yeah, it happened. It has nothing to do with me. It's about Jesus. And yeah, he's God's son, so of course he's going to light up. He's God. That's true. But he's also human, fully man as well. And as Jesus prayed to Father, as he was in that presence, just heaven just broke loose. And it wasn't chaos, it was orderly, it was planned, it was God's desire to do what he was going to do in that moment. Verse 30 says, and behold, at least that's what it's in the New King James and the King James Version. The Passion Translation and Message say, all at once. And I like what the New Living Translation, it says, suddenly. In that moment, as Jesus is praying, Moses and Elijah appeared. Jesus, his whole disposition shone, transfigured. And I believe that as the disciples are watching this and eventually recorded this, they would say, God wants to shake us out of our complacency. He wants us to get out of our routine. He wants all heaven to break loose when we pray. Suddenly, look at this. Isn't this astonishing? Can you say that about your prayer time? Can you say that about your moments with Father? Wow, look what just happened. I have no idea why Moses and Elijah were chosen to be there on that in that moment in time. That really isn't what the essence of this passage is about. It's about their conversation that they had, though, about Jesus fulfilling God's plan for his life, what that was going to look like. And the 8 days has to do with Jesus talking about, I'm going to die. I'm going to go back to heaven. And as he's there with Moses and Elijah, that was their conversation. And his departure was at hand. It was more than the word departure as we would know it today. The train departs the station. Actually, departure in this context means death, his death. He's leaving. But there's another word that's actually used here that's not departure. It's exodus. In other words, you're going to move from this point to this place. There's a place that you're moving towards. And so Jesus is departing, moving towards something. And what is it? The cross? Yes. His death? Yes. His resurrection? Yes. But Luke, in his writing, is saying, no, it's about the ascension. It's about Jesus going back to be with the Father. Here you are now, and here's where you're going to be. And here's what's going to take place, and here's the reason for it. And I've been here enough times now that you're ready for your theology today? You got to have theology. Our theology indicates to us that the ascension, going to the Father, raising up to go to heaven, is important. Important to Luke. It's important because that's where Jesus receives his glory again. That's where Jesus takes on himself the full nature of God. See, remember in Philippians, he says he emptied himself of everything and became like humans. And the ascension was necessary for Jesus to return to that moment of his glory. It affirmed all the work that he had done was sufficient and perfect for each and every one of us. His divine power was returned in. Remember, Jesus did not do the miracles. He was the catalyst for the miracles that he did on earth. He was just the tool. He was just the instrument for Father to work through him in those moments in time. It's in the ascension that Jesus now returns to that place of divine power, that which he had already given up. It's in the ascension that Jesus again becomes this glorious Lord. That's why his face can shine upon you. And that his kingdom is available to us. If he had not ascended, if Jesus had not returned to heaven, we would have to make a trip to Galilee and try to find him. We would have to travel this earth to find, where's Jesus? Well, I'm telling you where it's at. The theology is, it's important for us to be reminded, the ascension is imperative for us to believe, if we're going to believe in God and the work of Christ in our life. And so that's your theology for today. And here's Peter, James, and John, who, according to the passage, are kind of out of it. They're kind of semicos. I was sitting down the other day, and I was reading, and all of a sudden I was asleep. I thought, where was I in those last few moments? I think that's kind of where they were at. They were just kind of nodding off. They were doing a good thing. They were doing what they were supposed to. They were with Jesus, their friend. They nodded off, and they weren't really capturing all that was going on around them. They were burdened. They were weighed down by sleep. And now they've been thoroughly wakened up, just like that. This last night, I had this message on my mind as I went to sleep, and about 11 o'clock, I woke up, and I thought I heard something. Boy, I was wide awake. What was that sound? Did I leave the back door open? And somebody's in the back? They must have climbed over the fence. They got in my house. I wasn't about to go find out what was going on, but I was wide awake in that moment thinking the worst. And that's what happened to the disciples. Not that the worst was out there. They were suddenly fully conscious of what was going on. Were they praying? Probably not. They were sleeping. They were nodding off. But they are fully aware now. Wow, look at what is here. And it's at that moment that Peter does a silly thing. That silly thing, now that he's fully alert, realizing what had happened, seeing this full glory of Jesus and the two men with him, Peter has an idea. Jesus, this is really cool. What do you say we build three tabernacles, three tents? We will make one tent for you, one tent for Moses, and one tent for Elijah. Isn't that a great idea, Jesus? What do you think? Let's pitch a tent around this, and let's not lose it. We say things like, let's hang on to these emotions, this feeling. Several years ago, I was a part of a worship experience that was just, it was God moving in our worship experience. A year later, I was with the same people, and they wanted to do it again. And I was quick to remind them, we can't do it again. In fact, we don't want it to happen again. We want new. We want fresh. We want God to work in this moment in our lives. Peter tried to control Jesus. We try to control him as well, sticking to what we know and works, to the style that has got us to this place where we're at, where we feel comfortable. And it's all about our humanity and our base desires. We try to be in charge. And when we do that, we prevent God from doing what he wants to do in us, because once again, we're in the way. It's a silly thing Peter decides to do. And I question myself, and I question some of the things in our lives. Why do we try to control God? It's this God who showers us with his blessings. He pours his grace out on us. He reveals himself to us over and over again. Why try to control God? Well, here they are. They're up in this cloud. In Scripture, when you see the clouds, it references the presence of God. And so with the presence of God all around them, enveloped in this cloud, a voice is heard saying, "This is my son. It's the one, he's the one I have chosen." Listen to the preacher. No. Listen to him. Listen to his voice. Hear his voice as he speaks to you. "This is my son. I'm really proud of him. He's a good guy. Listen to him." This is the second time that Father spoke from the cloud. The first time was at the baptism. "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." That's an affirmation. Father saying, "Jesus is the real deal," if I can say it that way. And here it is again. Jesus is real. He has a purpose. He has a design. He's got the words that are not his, but they're mine. Listen to him. And as you listen to him, you're listening to me. It's an invitation to each and every one of us to listen to God. Come to worship. Come to gather together. But as you come, know that God has something he wants to tell you. Read your Bible every day. That's the catechism. We know the catechism. The reason we read the Bible every day is not because we want to know everything that's in the Bible, although that's okay. But he wants us to listen to him speak to us through the words that he's given to us. He's saying, if you'll listen to him, you'll listen to me, your life will be changed. And you'll no longer be the same. Keep on listening in your prayers, for God wants to surprise us with new and fresh every day. His mercies are new and fresh every day. We read that, I think, the last time I was here. We're God's people, gathered together to see how God's word is going to form us and use us in these days. "This is my son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." And so, as I would come to an ending point, prayer is learning to listen to God. It always begins with God. He's the initiator. "I think I'll pray today. I think I'll just do this today." No, God is calling us. He is the one who moves us to pray. He nudges us. "Hey, Bernie, pray. Circumstances in our life nudging us, moving us, he's initiating us towards prayer. Seeing the things around us is a call to prayer. Oh, things are so bad. Oh my. Why stay there? Take that oh my and say, Father, here's what's going on. I know you know. But as I see this, you're moving me to you so that your will can be worked out. I'm finding he teaches me to pray. He searches my heart and he shows me things. He tries me and brings those things out. Prayer, as we pray, we become that change element and instrument that he will use to reveal his glory to us as well as to others. It all starts with God. That's where our prayers begin. So maybe the first prayer that you should pray every day is, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray, Lord. I don't know how to do it. And as we listen, as he teaches us, we begin to understand his purposes and to realize those things that are on his mind and on his heart. We begin to see what he sees and we hear those groanings within him. Lord, teach us to pray so that our prayers may be pleasing to you and you may accomplish your purposes through me. I asked you a series of questions at the beginning. Let me read those questions again, okay? When was the last time that during your prayers, your whole life changed? How might God want to refashion you through your conversation with him? Might we leave our times of devotion and quiet times with him and our times of worship? Do we want to leave with that resplendent glory that Moses demonstrated and Jesus demonstrated? Are you open to God turning you around and sending you off on a new course or confirming us in a path that we were questioning? What might happen if your prayers gave more space to God? What could develop if you really learned to listen to God and let God change you? What would come to pass if you stopped getting in the way and let God be God in us and for us and through us? What a glimpse into the life of Jesus. What an opportunity Peter, James, and John had to be in that moment in time on that mount. Last year, we traveled to Israel. One of our excursions took us to the Mount of Transfiguration. You know what they did on top of that mount? They built a cathedral. They built wings. One wing was for Moses and one wing was for Elijah. Pretty impressive. I went outside and stood there. And I thought about that moment that Peter, James, and John experienced in the presence, in that cloud. Lord, do it again. Do it again. If for no one else, but for me. May my life, may I desire to experience fresh and new Jesus who's before me. How about you today? Praise team somewhere there? I don't know where she went. I was supposed to nod to her. Come on up, praise team. We don't need her. You know the song. You probably could sing it a cappella. somebody can get us started. But I want us to sing that little chorus again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I don't want to do it just so we close the service with something like that. I would like for you to take these words and let them just kind of grow on you this week. Allow yourself, as you turn your eyes on, just see him in his transfigured state. See him resplendent in glory, sitting on the throne next to the Father, allowing his Holy Spirit freedom in your life to do for you exactly what he wants to do and needs to do, and what you need him to do. How many have made it all the way? How many are at that peak and pinnacle where you're saying, I don't need any more? I don't think so. Again, here's the gap. See, there's a gap. There's so much more for each and every one of us. Let's stand as we would sing this chorus. If we sing it through two times, that'd be good. This morning, we had the opportunity, and actually we've experienced some of what Peter, James, and John experienced in your presence. You have bathed us with your Spirit. Holy Spirit has been so faithful to touch our hearts and our minds and our lives. And truly through this worship experience, we leave different people. What a joy to leave differently than when we came in the doors. May our desire, before any other desires on this earth, be to be in your presence. May that be how our day begins, how it continues, and how it ends. We know you're going to use us for your purposes and your designs. We know we're going to experience those things as humans that come our way. We have surgeries. We have losses. We have gains. I believe that was part of one of the songs we sang this morning. And today, Father, we've experienced another gain. But we know that you're not finished working in our lives. And so with open hearts, with great desire, we stand in your presence moment by moment, every day. May we never have to wonder what would Jesus do. Maybe because we're so close to you, we know, and we don't have to ask. Wow, what a thought. We want to do what Jesus did and to do the things that he would have done. But may it be out of our intimate relationship with you that we go through our day. And may your kingdom come through the faithfulness of this congregation, individually, corporately. What a joy it's been to minister to them through these last month and a half. We know you've got great things in store for them as they enter into that moment and into those intimate moments with you. I pray for their pastor. I pray that Father, Pastor James, when he comes down off the mountain, his face shines. And a congregation stands in awe. And rather than being afraid to stare at his shiny face, may they too desire to have a shiny face, because it's theirs as well as his. May these calls to prayer, these instructions on how to pray, may they take root in each one here today. And may everyone know the value, their value, not just to the congregation, but to you. May their desire, again, just to be in your presence and to let you be God, to give you the space to work in their lives. And I believe you're going to do an incredible thing, not just for this church, but for this community. There's a brilliance of light that they need to see. May this be a shiny example of a transcendent God who moves among his people. May they be drawn to the light. And may Willard be a people of faith. Amen. Amen. Thank you.